Last 16 lineup is complete after a night of high drama in the UEFA Champions League. Two epic comebacks in Italy. One saw Atalanta through, the other ended with Galatasaray squeezing through in extra time despite a Herculean effort from Juventus. The holders Paris Saint-Germain and the record winners Real Madrid also secured their spots in the next stage. There is a lot to discuss over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott, and we now know the final 16 of this season's competition. Here are Wednesday's results. Stories everywhere. Juventus 3, Galatasaray 2 on the night after extra time. The team from Turkey progressing 7-5 on aggregate. Paris Saint-Germain 2, Monaco 2 on the night. The holders progressing 5-4 on aggregate. Real Madrid 2, Benfica 1 on the night. Real Madrid going through 3-1 on aggregate. And Atalanta 4, Borussia Dortmund 1 on the night. Atalanta going through 4-3 on aggregate. That, of course, follows the drama on Tuesday when Bodo Glimt, Atletico, Leverkusen and Newcastle made it through from their knockout playoff ties. Well, joining me to look back on the week, look ahead to the draw for the round of 16 and in particular analyse Wednesday's results, the European football expert Daniele Fisichella and commentator John Bradley. You guys covered a real cracker of a second leg in Turin. It finished a couple of minutes ago. The stadium is still, you can hear, you can feel murmurs of what did we just witness? How did Juventus come back from three goals down to force extra time, Daniele, and then Galatasaray in extra time ended up winning it?
A rimonta, a comeback, and a counter comeback from Galatasaray, a five goals tie that was extraordinary, that added all, and in the end the Juventus stadium applauds both the Juventus players, but of course it's Galatasaray who qualifies for the round of 16.
John, second year of the new format which introduced the knockout playoffs, how did we ever survive without it? Because the drama we've had last week and this week, it's been really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, last year was brilliant. You know, when we got given the ties that we were given last year, we're like, wow, this is brilliant. This is the best thing that's ever been introduced. And then we've just seen the games that we've seen. I mean, the game we've watched here was beyond belief, really. That Juventus have produced that level of performance, having been reduced to 10 men at the start of the second half with the scoreline at 1-0 and still managing to get it to extra time. And then there was still so much drama going on elsewhere. I mean, it's just been absolutely, what a night. You know, you look at the games involving, you know, we could quite easily be sat here saying that Juventus, Benfica, Monaco could have gone through from the three late games. Never mind what happened early on.
It's true. All four teams that were eliminated at one stage or other had really, really good opportunities perhaps to go through themselves. It was a roller coaster. Let's begin by focusing on the match in Turin then. Juventus trailed Galatasaray 5-2 after the first leg in Istanbul. Could they somehow come back and produce a classic Champions League fight back? Well, Daniele and John, watch this one. Here is how the drama unfolded.
It's Manu Locatelli, a puff of his cheeks, a right-footed penalty sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and mission impossible may just be on. Locatelli helps the ball on, then it's driven across goal. Oh, what a ball, and it's in, and Juventus have a goal back, and it's Federico Gatti who turns the ball home with 20 minutes to go.
This is pure knockout football. It's end-to-end, it's fascinating, it's that's what the Champions League is made for.
Galatasaray were carried on a wave of emotion inside their Istanbul stadium a week ago. The same emotion now from the Juventus fans who are urging their team to get back into the game. And they have done! The header back across goal is turned home
Weston McKennie! It's unthinkable! It's unbelievable! The 10 men of Juventus lead by 3-0 against Galatasaray! It's 5-5 on aggregate!
And after 90 minutes of the most incredible fighting and passion you've seen, it means we're going to have another half hour. Gundogan now for Barış Yılmaz. Forward, looking for Osimhen, who's in and scores right on the half-time whistle in extra time to reinsert their authority in the tie. Now Davinson Sanchez makes a forward run. The burst is on, the little run in, and the ball is in the back of the net. And that's it now. It's Barış Yılmaz who breaks through the offside trap, advances on the goalkeeper, and slides the ball home. And Galatasaray's work is complete. They were 3-0 down. It was 5-5 on aggregate. But in extra time, they found 2 goals to finally end the brave resistance of Juventus.
12 goals in an unbelievable tie ultimately. And tonight, 5. Juventus winning 3-2, but ultimately bowing out. Where on earth do we begin when we try and sum this up? John, we heard it in your voice. 8 minutes to go in normal time when Weston McKennie equalised. And then in the first half of extra time, a very big chance for Juventus to have gone 4-0 up on the night, which ultimately, for the first time in the tie, would have put them ahead on aggregate.
They created a number of chances. I mean, even after they managed to get it back to when they went 3-0 up and got it to 5-5 on aggregate, there was a chance before full-time, but the one in extra time as the ball comes all the way forward downfield. It's a really great flowing move for 10 men to move the ball downfield like that. Boga on the left-hand side, it comes all the way across to Edin Zegrova, and he has almost half the goal to aim at as the goalkeeper tries to come across. He tries to roll it back into the corner where the goalkeeper's come from, and it's just gone a fraction wide. And it's a whisker away. It's such a the finest margin between that and heartbreak ultimately for Juventus. And they were so close to doing it. And of course, as soon as that happens, who else is there better in world football than someone like Victor Osimhen to go down the other end and score?
Yeah, Lloyd Kelly sent off in the 48th minute when the score was only 1-0 to Juventus. So they forced extra time, scored 2 goals with a man disadvantage. And then up until that moment when Victor Osimhen picked it up inside the penalty area, would it be fair to say that Juve had the better of extra time? And then we saw what a fantastic finisher, centre-forward Victor Osimhen is. He hadn't had many chances. He'd worked incredibly hard doing his defensive duties. But then came the opportunity, the decisive moment, and he took it.
Absolutely. Osimhen has been excellent because for 60-70 minutes he hasn't been given a lot of services by his teammates, and he was excellent at defending his own box in many Juventus corners and free kicks, but then had the peace of mind and the composure of such a difficult finishing. And you know, in the end, Galatasaray ended the game with 2 strikers on the pitch, with Icardi, with Osimhen, Willy Roizane, testifying that they had quality as well on the bench to bring on. They went through some difficult moments, but in the end, they qualified through attacking play. And that's what made this tie so great, so special. The second leg, both teams going for it end to end, delivering great entertainment. A quick word on Juventus. I think they were tactically spot on, perfect. They decided to play without a center forward when they brought off Jonathan David, and that really changed the game. The introduction of Zegrova or Boga playing with a false nine, they opened up the Galatasaray defense, and perhaps if Kenan Ilditz would have stayed on the pitch a little bit longer, we know he had an injury, he had to come off in the 102nd minutes, maybe Juventus could have even scored the 4th or 5th goal. But overall, I think the Bianconeri really have nothing to regret, at least for this second game.
And the way the entire stadium stood up and applauded them when the second goal for Galatasaray went in was something that'll live with me for a long time. Just a quick word on the goal scored by Osimhen.
it looks like he's offside when he gathers the ball, and you automatically think this isn't going to count, he's offside. But rather than running towards goal when the ball is passed towards him, he actually runs backwards towards the corner of the penalty area to hold himself onside, and then receives the ball sort of off balance and still scores. It's a brilliant bit of forward play, magnificent forward play, really is.
We're actually just seeing a replay of the goal exactly as you described. This, remember, when the score was 3-0 to Juventus and therefore 5-5 on aggregate, really the decisive moment. And it is a... Watch it on UEFA.com and on the Champions League app, because if you are an aspiring striker growing up or a lover of football, the movement and the finish is really world class. And ultimately, that was the goal that really broke the resistance of Juventus and put Galatasaray ultimately en route to the round of 16.
99.9% of footballers would run towards the goal when that ball was coming. But that's what makes these sort of players, the players that we watch in the UEFA Champions League week in, week out, so, so special. Moments like that. And then he even stood aside and let his mate score the second goal, Barış Yılmaz. And bearing in mind, he's got 7 Champions League goals this season now. I thought it was quite nice that he stood aside. He could have had 8 there.
So, Galatasaray were, before Wednesday, the last Turkish team to grace the round of 16 back in 2014. And they are back, and their country is back in the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League. And they will believe now that they can go even further in this competition. Congratulations to Galatasaray and to Juventus. Some comeback, eventually falling just short. And it is the team from Istanbul who make their way through. Next, we will head to the Parc des Princes. Paris Saint-Germain against Monaco, the defending champions, who had a 3-2 lead from the first leg after a brilliant first leg, Daniele. And the drama in this tie did not dissipate ahead of the second leg, because Monaco went in at the break 1-0 up on the night, thanks to birthday ball Magnus Akliosi's finish on half-time. And at that stage, this tie was heading to extra time as well.
And then it was almost history repeating. Monaco going down to 10 men, as it happened in the first leg. Paris scoring 2 goals in quick succession. We thought the tie was over. But, the reigning champions didn't have it all their own way. Monaco came back in the very last minute and even had a chance deep in stoppage time to take the tie to extra time, which shows how competitive this play so far, how on a knife edge this round of the Champions League can be. And even from PSG, who I think on balance on 180 minutes were the better side, of course, especially with the 3-2 lead after the first leg, it shows that nobody's quite safe, and that's the beauty.
Yeah, Monaco with a header almost with the last kick, which just whistled past the post. Otherwise, they would have forced an extra 30 minutes. But it is the holders who are through from this time. We can hear from their coach, Luis Enrique.
We know the Monaco as a team. They are a great team. It was difficult, especially in the first half. We were imprecise, and I think we improved our level the second half, and we deserved that victory, but it was tough. Every round is different. We are ready to play against any team, because we are used to play those kind of difficult matches, and Barcelona-Chelsea, it's going to be great.
So Paris Saint-Germain into the last 16 again, Daniele, and I guess you hear different coaches having different opinions on whether ultimately playing this round is a good thing, to be more battle hardened, if you like, when you get to the last 16, more in that rhythm, and having found a way through again tonight, Paris Saint-Germain without Ousmane Dembélé. Well, no one's going to want to run into the defending champions in the next stage.
Absolutely. And they've done it last season as well, when they knocked out Brest. So twice against teams from the Ligue 1. But I think it goes to show that Paris Saint-Germain have become more accustomed are winning knockout games, which is always important to do. But on the other hand, I also think it goes to show that the French football, the level of French football has risen. So there is a lot of quality even behind, beyond Paris Saint-Germain. And of course, Monaco today goes to show that they are a team full of young players. Very interesting. They had a very good campaign, Monaco, so they really go out with the heads up high.
We will review the round of 16 draw later, but Paris Saint-Germain are going to face Barcelona or Chelsea, and whoever they are paired with on Friday, that fixture is a classic Champions League game from the past with an awful lot of very late goals, whoever they're paired against. That is going to be one to look forward to in early March when the round of 16 comes around. Still to come, though, we will look at Wednesday's other two second legs in the knockout playoffs. And as I mentioned, ahead to that big draw on Friday in the UEFA Champions League.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
To the Bernabeu and another fascinating second leg. Real Madrid beating Benfica by 2-1, progressing 3-1 on aggregates. Vinicius Junior was eventually the difference, as he was in the first leg, to expert goals across this tie. But, Daniele, Rafa Silva put Benfica 1-0 up. Only 2 minutes later, Aurelien Tchouameni scored a brilliant equaliser. And then at 1-1, Rafa Silva hit the bar. So this one was incredibly finely poised. It could easily have gone either way, or, and we're going to say this a lot tonight, or could easily have gone to extra time.
Oh, absolutely. Benfica were very good value tonight, demonstrated once again they can match up with Europe's elite. They've already beaten Real Madrid, after all, in the competition. They had chances. In the end, the superior quality of Real Madrid, their stronger experience at international level, paid off. There were some fantastic goals in the tie as well. And Real Madrid qualifies again, once again. They never missed a round of 16 since 2003-2004, which is some record for Los Blancos. Again, I think Benfica had a very, very good competition, a team that looked completely out of the Champions League by match day 5. So I think for them reaching this stage is great. But of course, for Real Madrid now, being in the round of 16, they become, by default, one of the candidates to lift the trophy.
That is an amazing stat. Last 16, every season since 2003-2004. Absolute phenomenal consistency in the biggest club competition in world football and, of course, in European football. Let's hear from one of their stars, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
It was a test and a challenge with them scoring a goal, and, you know, it could have changed our mentality and the way we played our game, but we reacted in the perfect way, you know. Showed our resilience, bounced back straight away with a fantastic finish from Aurelien. And then seeing the game out with Vinny showing an excellent finish again at the perfect time in the game to kind of put the tie to bed. And at that point, it's just about seeing it out and, you know, staying mature, not trying to chase more goals. And, you know, we've done that. We kept the ball and we managed the game excellently.
Trent Alexander-Arnold thereafter, Real Madrid 2, Benfica 1. Real Madrid through 3-1 on aggregate. In the early match, well, this one was very, very dramatic. Borussia Dortmund travelled to Atalanta with a 2-0 lead from the first leg in Germany. The action of this one was watched by Gary Taphouse.
That's a clever pass. Defender goes across, Anton Skomak is waiting and scoring for Atalanta. That is exactly the sort of stunning start they were hoping for. Punched away by Cabell, not too far. Oh, it's in! It's 2-0 to Atalanta. Sepa Costa with the strike. And with half-time fast approaching, it's all square on aggregate. Oh, it's a terrific ball! And it's headed in! Mario Pasalic makes it 3-0 astonishing turnaround in this thrilling playoff. Adeyemi, he's got it back again. Adeyemi beat Jones, and he's done it. He's levelled the tie. Pašalić, and he's gone for goal. And Krstović, was he caught there? That's what Atalanta are asking. It's a penalty. It is a penalty to Atalanta. Lazar Samardžić, this is what you call a pressure penalty. This to put Atalanta through to the round of 16. He's done it! An incredible night for Atalanta. A truly extraordinary turnaround.
Really was that goal in the 98th minute. Beautifully finished into the top corner from Lazar Samardžić, completing an amazing turnaround for Atalanta. What will this mean for the team from Bergamo, who are the only Italian club in the last 16? Great pride, I'm sure, in that particular stat, but also, you know, an amazing comeback to see off a very good Borussia Dortmund side.
Such an amazing night that is second only to their triumph in the Europa League final in Dublin in 2024. This is a night that is going to live forever in the memories of Atalanta and Italian football, and they won it their Atalanta way, with rhythm, with intensity, with relentless belief. That's what they got as used to. And Atalanta now have established themselves as one of the European top teams, you know, for such a small town in Italy, but, you know, such an industrious team as well. So great, great performance from Atalanta to knock out Borussia Dortmund, who so far they were having a very, very good season. And now Atalanta can look forward to a very tasty round of 16 fixture.
Yeah, Martin De Roon after the game, the Atalanta captain, saying it's hard to describe, it's an incredible feeling. And when the goal comes so late with the last kick, is there anything better if you're a supporter of Atalanta? Anyway, so they are through 4-3 on aggregate. A reminder that the round of 16 quarterfinal and semi-final draw takes place this Friday, as I've mentioned, at 12 noon Central European time. So for the teams that qualified on Wednesday, this is who they'll be paired potentially with. Galatasaray will face one of Liverpool or Tottenham in the next round. Paris, as we briefly mentioned, will play Barcelona or Chelsea in the round of 16. Atalanta, their prize for making it through, either Arsenal or Bayern. And Real Madrid will play either Sporting or Manchester City. The teams through on Wednesday, joined, of course, by Bodo Glimt, Atletico, Leverkusen and Newcastle, who made it through from the knockout playoffs, joining those eight teams that finished in the top eight of the league phase and therefore went through straight away. One team hoping to continue their fairy tale is Bodo Glimt, and their captain Patrick Berg is feeling relaxed to head off Friday's draw after their historic victory over Inter on Tuesday. They, as I mentioned, will get either Sporting or an opponent they've beaten already this season, the English side Manchester City.
Of course, it's fun to play against new teams, so if we play against Sporting to go there, it would be amazing. But if it's Man City, we will gladly say welcome back to Norway, and now we will also play against them away if we play against them. So we're just looking forward to the next game.
I bet they are. Bodo Glimt on this amazing run, and they will face, as I mentioned, either City or Sporting. From those through on Wednesday, Daniele, and it's great to be able to get the crystal ball out of this stage and think, well, if that team plays that team, what might we see? But is there anything that stands out? We know the options of who sides will face in this bracket now, all the way through to the final in Budapest in May.
Mainly I'll be looking at two things. Whether we get two same nations ties, Newcastle-Chelsea or Leverkusen-Bayern, which, by the way, we saw last season, Leverkusen-Bayern. And also I'll be looking whether to see if Arsenal is in the same pathway as Manchester City. That'll be intriguing.
Yes, because we're going to get the finalised last 16 draw. We're also going to get the pathways. And you know that fans across the continent, across the world, they're going to start plotting. If we make it through, maybe we'll get that team. But the last 16, John, there are the teams that have won it, the historic clubs in this competition. And then there are the likes of Bodo Glimt, Galatasaray, who we've mentioned, who Bodø/Glimt have never been to the last 16. Galatasaray haven't been for more than a decade. So there are some new different names who will bring that little bit of intrigue as well to the next stage of the competition.
What I love is every year someone comes from nowhere and goes very, very deep into the UEFA Champions League, be it the quarterfinals, the semi-finals or wherever. We've seen so many legends created down the years from such teams, and I'm just so excited to see who this year's team is going to be. Will it be Bodø/Glimt? Will it be Galatasaray? Is someone else going to make a name for themselves this year? It's mouth-watering.
Certainly is. Follow the draw on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. I'm just looking down some of the potential matchups. Tottenham or Liverpool will face Atletico. Both of these teams would be heading back to the Metropolitana, where they met in a final not very long ago. The potential of Real Madrid facing Manchester City,
like last season,
yeah. And that has become a kind of mini Champions League derby. Yeah. You can look through all of them, and you know, really, we mentioned Newcastle, you know, Chelsea, or Barcelona. You think of some of the great games at the turn of the century in the late 90s between those two clubs.
I remember a game between Atletico and Liverpool when Liverpool couldn't even fly there because of the ash cloud in over Iceland, and they had to get a bus and a train all the way through France to a game in the, which was the Europa League semi-final. That was an incredible time. There we go.
There we go. We cannot wait, and the last 16 kicking off in March. Back-to-back weeks again, which is something really to look forward to in only a fortnight's time. The Champions League, there really is no break now, and we are delighted for that. From September all the way through to the final in late May or early June, whenever it falls. Gents, back to Wednesday, moment of the night, and there were a few.
Can I just say, football has been the winner over the last couple of match days, because it has been an incredible night of football tonight. Last night was incredible as well, and this UEFA Champions League just keeps throwing up night after night of brilliant drama and brilliant entertainment. And when Weston McKennie scored, I thought the roof was going to come off the Juventus Stadium. But then when the supporters all stood up and applauded when Barış Yılmaz scored, that was an amazing moment as well.
17 goals tonight for me. 98 minutes, Lazar Samardžić in Bergamo, the composure, the calmness to slot that penalty into the top corner and giving Atalanta an historic qualification.
Yeah, the competition of late goals, great storylines. My word, it has delivered this week, both on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Daniele, John, thank you very much. So the round of 16 lineup completes. Galatasaray, Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid and Atalanta securing their places. Match Day Live will bring you all of the action in the next stage. The ties begin on Tuesday, the 10th of March. We'll bring you full live commentary of one of that evening's matches, plus updates and the goals as they go in from every game. We're on air from 20:45 Central European Time. By the way, this podcast available at the end of every Champions League night, so make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye after a thrilling, thrilling week in the UEFA Champions League.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.